numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Brian Ortega, ladies and gentlemen, in for Wyatt Tomchek, who's in for Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Third man off the bench. I like it.
No, but what's great about having you in here is that you have a podcast of your own called Concierge Confidential. I don't know if you're familiar with that's the title of it.
Thank you.
You're
that
welcome.
That's it.
And so a little later on, we're going to have you discuss the Oscar odds that are already out for next year. Not picks, but your current thoughts, how you stack them up.
That's right. Yeah, very excited about it. I've been thinking about this all week.
Okay. All right. And also hardest restaurants to get into in Vegas. We'll do that with you as well.
Brian Ortega. Also been thinking about that since last night. So.
Brian Ortega, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to that. It's Thursday. That means an hour of the Crack Man Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger coming up. Paul Sporer, who wasn't able to join us earlier in the week, will talk baseball with Sporer, get some thoughts from him on yes, no to make the playoffs and other baseball matters as well. And the guide is out today. The NFL betting guide here at VSiN is out today. We got Steve Mackinnon joining us to discuss some of the picks that he had in the betting guide and really some of the articles. Really, we'll focus on he did a sort of deep dive into rookie coaches, how they've performed. We'll bend Steve's ear about that. I want to mention something about the betting guide because we've actually laid eyes on it now. It is real. So I just want to get there's a grid at the beginning that we all do. There's 20 of us who give our picks for each division, each conference that we feel the champions will be, and, of course, the Super Bowl champions. So that's what? That's, quick math, 340 different picks in a grid. And it includes not just your standard VSiN host, but it's got Brent Musburger in there, Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr. So there's 20 of us. I don't want to give away everything because I want people to get the guide, but we'll just take that grid at a glance here momentarily. First, though, and this has not as much to do with sports betting as it just does have to do with sports, but I am a baseball geek at heart. And Domingo Germán, with the 24th perfect game in the history of Major League Baseball last night, the Yankees beat the Oakland Athletics 11-0. I'm not sure if we'll look back on these when we go back when we're older men and look back at perfect games in MLB history. I'm not sure if we'll look at this one and see an asterisk because it's against the 2023 Oakland Athletics. But last I checked, the Athletics are still in Major League Baseball, so it counts. And Domingo Germán becomes not only the 24th pitcher to ever throw a perfect game, but he becomes the fourth Yankee to do so. Don Larsen, famously in the World Series in 1956. David Cone, David Wells, and now Domingo Germán. Don, David, and Domingo. So the fourth in Yankee history to throw a perfect game. And perfect games, really, when you look back on them, you kind of remember each and every one of them. Like, just at least the names of the players who did so. And that's sort of unlike no-hitters. Because no-hitters, like I was looking back at the no-hitters in history, there are over 300 no-hitters in the history of baseball. Brian, there's a lot of these where I'm like, I have no recollection of this whatsoever. By the way, do you know that Chris Heston threw one for the Giants in 2015? Like, if you're not a Giants fan, I don't know how you would even like, who? Who did? And there's so many of those through the years. From the one betting tie I would like to make is way before there was legalized sports betting. I remember, so I did back a no-hitter. I didn't have it predicted as a no-hitter. But I backed Hisashi Iwakuma in 2015 for the Seattle Mariners when he pitched a no-hitter against the Orioles. And I remember thinking when I won that bet, there really should be a boost to that. I didn't use the word boost, but years before these sports books came up with boosts, you really feel like no-hitters, if you back them, or perfect games especially, there should be some artificial boost in there. Obviously, we haven't gotten to that point. But no-hitters a dime a dozen by comparison. But you go back in perfect game history, and this is the first one, Domingo Germán's, since Felix Hernandez threw one in 2012. In fact, the summer of 2012, and you can remember them all, Philip Humber out of nowhere with the Chicago White Sox. That was followed by Matt Cain of the Giants throwing a no-no against the Astros. I remember that because I was at Pink Taco at the Hard Rock. It's the name of a restaurant, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Relax. So that I remember taking it in there. And then it was Felix Hernandez, who, if ever anybody deserved a cherry on top to a glorious career with a perfect game, it was Felix. So there were three perfect games in the summer of 2012. And then before that, Really, we all remember that. The late, great Roy Halladay in 2010, Dallas Braden's unbelievable perfect game in 2010 with the Athletics, Mark Burley in 2009. I remember the Mark Burley one. Who was the center fielder that made the unbelievable catch in center for the 27th out? That was an unbelievable finish to a perfect game. Randy Johnson in 2004, David Cone and David Wells, as we mentioned, 99-98, Kenny Rogers, El Presidente, Denny Martinez in 91, and then even when we were kids, like Tom Browning in 88 for the Reds, Mike Witt in 84, and Len Barker, this is as far back as I remember, the perfect games before Len Barker did in 81 were all before any of us were even born, like 13 years prior to that. So, and the Len Barker one, I even remember the time, like dark footage, but perfect games are perfect games. Congratulations to Domingo Germán. Congratulations to anybody who had the Yankees yesterday against the A's. First player in MLB history to throw a perfect game after allowing double-digit runs in his previous start. Well, he allowed 10 runs in his previous start, 8 earned. You know how many earned runs he allowed in the previous start before that? 7. 15 earned runs in his last two starts, and he comes out with not only a no-no, but a perfect game. It's amazing. Baseball. Like, any night you watch it, something amazing will happen. And it, by the way, he got stronger. Stronger and stronger. If you blinked, you missed the ninth inning. It was 6 pitches. It was easy peasy as far as perfect games go. 99 pitches for Domingo Germán, a guy who, again, even before the 8 earned runs and the 7 earned runs game, was suspended half a season for domestic abuse in the past. And this year, 10 games for having a sticky substance on the baseball. And I just want to get the quote right. This is the last I'll say about it. But the crew chief that night, I believe it was against Toronto. Yeah, it was at Toronto. James Hoy said, Germán had, quote, the stickiest hand I've ever felt. So there's that. Really, you don't need to bring your personal life into it, James Hoy. But, you know. Anyway, congratulations to Domingo Germán, baseball history. Let me get my bets in that I made last night before we talk about the grid here. Real quick, I did bet the Spencer Strider NL Cy Young play. If you were here yesterday, I gave a sort of long-winded speech as to why I thought Strider was the value. I mentioned it was plus 750 at DraftKings. I actually got 8-1 at BetMGM here yesterday. Strider, who has a 2.91 xFIP, leads all candidates in the National League, 9-2 record, 38.9% K rate, which leads all the National League candidates, 206 batting average against, 1.11 whip. Those don't lead the candidates, but they're right behind the leader. I think that represents tremendous value. Tom Tango does not agree with his point system. He has Marcus Stroman as the best value right now. And then Wimbledon, just to the draw is tomorrow at Wimbledon. I mentioned I already had an Iga Swiatek play at 4-1 from a while ago. You could have gotten her right up to 4-1 this week. She's a little lower than that now as she's performing well this week on grass. I also have a Swiatek Djokovic Kinyela, if you will, a little parlay to win Wimbledon at plus 550. And I just added, because, you know, this isn't Iga's surface, so just in case, a Petra Kvitova Novak Djokovic parlay at 13-1 for them to win their respective sides of the Wimbledon bracket. This is all pre-draw. The draw comes out, of course, tomorrow. So just want to reiterate some of the bets. We'll probably have more after the draw tomorrow. Drew Dinsick and I will do a Beating the Book podcast on Wimbledon tomorrow after this show. And for those who missed it, the Q2 Derivatives Show MLB on the Beating the Book podcast feed right now. As far as the guide is concerned, and we're going to get to Steve Mackin in here momentarily to talk about our NFL betting guide. But I mentioned, so there's this grid at the beginning, 20 of us, including Brent Musburger, including Mike Golic Sr. and Jr., who made all of our picks, divisions, 3 wild cards per conference, plus the 2 conference championships and the Super Bowl. So that's a total of 340 picks. And without giving away everything, Brian, I just sort of like took a glance at it. Only one division had all 20 pick the same team. Only one division had all 20 pick the same team. Any guesses? Any guesses? AFC West, Chiefs, right. No problem there. Not giving away too much with that. That was the only one, though. Every other division had more than one pick for throughout the 20 people selecting. The number of divisions where all 4 teams were picked within the group of 20. Number of divisions where all 4 teams in a division were picked within the 20 pool picking pool of experts, if you will. That number of divisions is 0. There was no division where all 4 teams were selected by the group of 20. So we're talking about 340 different picks between division winners, wild cards, conference champions, and the Super Bowl champion. 340. Three teams were mentioned just one time. So again, if you had advanced past the division and the wild card and someone picked him for conference and the Super Bowl, I get it. You could have been, one team could have been picked more than once that way. But I'm just saying they were only listed once. Should I give away all three teams or should we just guess one of them? Let's see if you can guess. I'll give you three guesses. As many as you can guess, we'll give away.
The Miami Dolphins.
They were not one of the teams that were mentioned just once. Oh. You get two more guesses.
I would say the Broncos.
Yes, the Broncos were one of them. You get one more guess.
Last guess, I would say the nobody in the NFC North because that would be multiple people.
Don't go qualifying. Just make a pick.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go with the Bears.
Incorrect. So the Broncos were one of the three that were just mentioned. So one person had the Broncos in one of their in their picks. How many teams out of the 32 NFL teams were not at all in the grid? Exactly one quarter of the league. Eight teams were not picked at all for anything postseason-wise. We'll see how many of those eight end up in the postseason for egg on our collective face. Three different teams picked by the 20 to win the AFC championship. Just three to win the conference. In the NFC, four different teams picked among the 20 to win the NFC championship. And how many teams were picked to win the Super Bowl? How many different teams? Four different teams. That's just the grid that starts the guide. Then it's a whole bunch of stuff, including some great stuff from Steve Mackinnon, including a season win total, analyzing betting trends for NFL teams with new head coaches, and wins and losses from 2022 to predict 2023. He's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. Then, bam, you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that simple. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on the show. The show is all about you and it's better for all the feedback, that's for sure. Ian McDonald, Dwayne Wise was the kid for the Sox. That's exactly right. Thank you, Ian. I was mentioning Mark Burley's perfect game back in the day. The 27th out was this unbelievable catch by Wise in center field. Thank you for that, Ian. Dwayne Wise, that's exactly who it was. Steven Vegas, 2010 perfect game. Armando Galarraga should be added to the list. Oh, yes. Amen. Everyone knew it was a perfect game except Jim Joyce, who went all Ray Charles, he says, at the end of that game. That was before replay. Galarraga handled it so beautifully. Joyce, who knew he blew the call after seeing the replay, wept. Galarraga could not have been more gracious. Literally took the perfect game away from him. And it actually became a sort of beautiful moment between the two of those. And then Elvis Toes Patterson, Gilly, here in Vegas, here in Pennsylvania, we could get Carlos Alcaraz at plus 375 to win Wimbledon. Would he be that big of a dog if he ends up facing Joker in the final? He would not be that big of a dog if he ends up facing Joker in the final. He'll be a dog, but not that big of a dog. Let us bring in a gentleman who has never been on this show before. That is my shortcoming, not his. Big contributor to all things written here at the Vegas Stats and Information Network, and specifically to our NFL football betting guide that is out today. He did his thing as well. Steve Mackinnon joins us. How you doing, Steve?
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. So you did multiple things here in this. One of them is a season win total bet, and then you wrote a couple pieces. Can we get the season win total bet? You're responsible for one in there, correct?
How many did they put in there for me? I'm not actually positive at this moment. I know I like my Saints is Saints play is my favorite, I believe.
Saints play is your favorite. You're going over or under on the Saints?
I'm going over. I love what they're bringing to the table here with Carr. Typically, veteran quarterbacks coming over, and I wrote about this this year too. Veteran quarterbacks coming over from a team where they served eight or more years and did it successfully. they do fairly well that first season, usually winning at least 55% of their games and do very well against the spread as well.
All right. You wrote a couple pieces. I want to focus on the first of these two, which is that's the beauty of this betting guide, which is it's not just picks. It's not just people, you know, giving their bets on season wins and futures and, you know, divisions and whatnot. It's also some deep analysis. And Steve did something called analyzing betting trends for NFL teams with new head coaches. Before you get into the meat of this, what was sort of the spark that made you want to write this?
Well, I mean, if you think of some of the biggest changes that happened to teams from one season to the other, I don't think you can point to anything bigger than a coaching change. And basically, when you change coaches in the NFL, you're changing a full staff in most cases. So a lot of things can change. They have a big impact. And from what you'll see in that article that I put together, that it can go both ways. Some coaches hit, some miss.
And most miss, is that what you found? Because you have charts in here as well.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is I call them retreads and I call them rookies. So for this season, the retreads, you're looking at Carolina with Reich and Peyton in Denver. Now, retreads really is a big-time hit or miss. Last 25, 12 I've called a hit, 12 a miss, so basically a win improvement or a win decline in that first season. The hits are big, 4.2 wins per season improvement. The misses, 2.6 losses per season more. So you could see it can go both ways. Now, the key thing about the retreads is only two of the last 16 of these that have been hired that first season have gone over 500. So it's not exactly what you're looking for instant improvement to get to the playoff type of level, but we'll see how it goes. Particularly interested in that situation with Peyton.
Yeah, Sean Payton and Frank Reich, I guess, fit the retread. By the way, the term retread always has a bad connotation, but what you're saying is you're not trying to give it a bad connotation. You're just saying these have been coaches before. So does it induce a bet for you on either Payton or Reich in any particular way?
Okay, so here's the interesting thing with Payton. Now, when these coaches, these retreads, have picked up teams that have scored less than 18 points per game, so they're bad offensively, they hire a new guy. Now, obviously, when you're bad offensively, you want to hire an offensive mind in most cases, and that's exactly what Denver's done here. When they've scored less than 18 points per game, that team has generally improved dramatically. Seven of the last 10 have improved dramatically by 5.1 wins per season. You add 5 wins to Denver, and they're a playoff team this season.
Interesting. And then when it comes to the rookie head coaches, and we're talking about D'Amico Ryan in Houston, Shane Steichen in Indianapolis, Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, two of whom come from the Philadelphia Eagles staff as they lose both of their coordinators into this season. What were your findings on the rookie head coaches? I think we might imagine what your findings were, but maybe we'll be surprised. And then how do you feel about these three heading into this season?
No, I think you will be surprised, actually. 27 of the last 43 have actually improved their teams that first season. Now, it hasn't been big as a hit of a miss as the retreads. You're averaging about 1.74 wins more per season. Now, a lot of times you're getting these rookies, they're taking over teams that are bottom of the barrel. So you might go from 3 to 5 win type of thing. So improvement doesn't mean they're going to be contenders. Now, we come off a season here where we had two extremely successful head coaches. Brian Daboll, 13 ATS wins, a playoff win. Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota, 13 outright wins. So you can see there are some times where they are very successful. Now, again, we got another situation here where the worse the team, the greater the improvement. Teams scoring less than 18 points per game. All 9 of the last teams that hired a new rookie head coach, improved by 4.9 wins per season. Now, that's going to apply to both Houston and Indianapolis this year with Ryans and Steichen. So, got some room for improvement for Houston and Indianapolis if you're looking for any maybe potential sneaky season win total bet.
Would you take a coach of the year flyer on any of those 5 rookie coaches, both retread and rookie?
I actually like the situation with Indianapolis here, I think, with Steichen. That team was pretty good at midseason defensively. I think their first game or first 10 games, they had 20.3 points per game allowed. They got a pretty good offensive line. They obviously got a very good running back. And I like what Gardner Minshew can bring to a team, assuming he's going to be the full season quarterback. I think they got a chance in that division to get kind of back into contention for possibly winning it.
All right, Shane Steichen about 25-1. At least that's the number of DraftKings. Sean Payton of the coaches we're talking about, 9-1 in Denver. Frank Reich, 22-1. D'Amico Ryan, 22-1. And Jonathan Gannon at 35-1 for Coach of the Year. You also wrote about using last year's wins and losses to predict this year's. I'll let people buy the guide or get into the guide for that, because you wrote real in-depth on all these subjects. One of the things that I did want to, in our last 2 minutes here, Steve, though, is, you know, for those who are newish listeners to not only this show, but to the network, you know, we're always talking about power ratings. And we sort of throw that around, you know, football, baseball, basketball, whatever the sport. Handicappers use their own power ratings. You provide yours. Can you give us the sort of elevator pitch on how you compile yours?
Okay, well, I guess from an elevator pitch standpoint, it's different off-season as it is in-season. So if I'm maybe creating a baseline set of power ratings for the season, I'll take what I saw last year and then analyze, like everybody else does, the free agent moves, who they gain, who they lose, any coaching changes, that type of thing. And I'll set up, if you want to call it, an average team. Now, to me, that number is 24 on my scale. So I'll look at also at the major media places of where they deem the teams to be, where the betting markets are looking at them. And I kind of put it all together, and I'll set up what I would refer to as my beginning of year ratings. Now, once I get into the season, I start using the actual results of games and the actual statistics, and I call them effective statistics, which take into account opponent strength that they faced, any type of injury adjustments I had to make to certain games. So I'll do that, and I'll create statistical ratings and an overall power rating. And I actually publish all of my different ratings that I offer on VSiN every week for the entire season.
Ooh, Cardinals at the bottom of your ratings at 17.5. Have you ever had a rating that low before? Yes?
Yes. In fact, I would say 17.5 is a typical low mark for the worst team in the NFL to start a season. Now, you don't want to go too low on some of these, because these teams are coming in with fresh slates. Obviously, things were pretty bad for Arizona last year. They got a new coach, and it's not looking very optimistic. But you just never know what can happen over the course of the season or in the beginning of the season with that fresh slate. These are professional athletes. You don't want to go too much. So,
Steve?
17.5 is typically low.
Appreciate it so much, man. Great to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Gil.
Steve Mackinnon, everybody, at Steve, M-A-K-I-N-E-N, on the Twitter machine. The VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide, available at VSiN.com/subscribe. Brian Ortega on the Oscars next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and get your newly released NFL betting guide. Or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl. Through the Super Bowl! For only $175, sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. The Super Bowl, man, that's about, what is that, 8 months from now?
Right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner. You get all that, 8 months worth, whatever it is, for $175. It's Gil Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the voice of Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega in for Wyatt Tomchek, who was in for Kelly Bidlin for most of the week. Kelly with the well-deserved vacation. Again, has anybody checked on Kelly? She really.
I saw him tweet last night.
Oh, he's alive. Okay, all right. Maybe we're going to try to get him in here tomorrow. Ruin his vacation. Be like, hey, you got anything to say? Say for yourself. So Brian, the beauty of having Brian here is Brian hosts a podcast called Concierge Confidential. How many times you put that out? Like, what's the rate on
I usually have two a week. So this week I skipped one because it was kind of a busy week because I was doing a couple shows for VSiN. So I'm also getting ready to go see Adele with my mom this weekend. So
nice.
Very excited.
Hello, Mrs. Ortega.
Yeah, she's very excited. My dad also did mention that he liked my shirt because he bought it, so that was nice. So.
Very, very nice.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay, so the Oscars actually, like, there's never been odds on the Oscars out this early.
No, it's unprecedented. I'm so excited.
Okay, so you haven't seen all these, but you have thoughts on this. So right now, the early Academy Awards odds are out for how many, five different movies, or does it extend further than that?
Oh, no. They have like maybe they have all the way up to 101, which is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which is not getting nominated. But they have maybe like 30 movies on here, but okay. I didn't want to do that much work.
All right, well, do your thing on the five that you wanted to talk about.
All right, so the five that I have listed, we could throw them up now. These are my power rankings. This is not the list of in order at this point. So right now, I have Killers of the Flower Moon ranked number one. That's a Martin Scorsese film. It also has Leonardo DiCaprio in it. It does talk about like the Native American nation. It's approved by them. It's a whole thing. It's also Scorsese has been working on it for 2 years. It was basically pushed back to this year, which I think is, you know, going to help it a little bit because it doesn't have to go up against Everything Everywhere like it did last year. And right now it's at plus 275, which I believe that's the correct spot. I think it should be number one because it has the pedigree of an Oscar movie. Then,
let me just ask you this. Is that the actual short shot currently?
It is, yes. Plus 275 is the shortest shot we have.
And instead of it being Martin Scorsese, if that's Martin Moskowitz, is that definitely the short shot? No, or is it just because it's Scorsese?
I mean, if Leonardo DiCaprio was in it, maybe.
Okay.
But no, it also has Jesse Plemons, which is a very popular pick for the Academy Awards. They want him to win an Oscar, Jesse Plemons, who I believe is the lead for this, and Leonardo DiCaprio is actually going to be like in a supporting role, which I think is actually suits him better at this point in his career, which he can still open movies, but I think it gives him more more freedom to sort of roam in terms of being, you know, of the screen. So I think that's good for him. But also there's like a million other people that are going to be in Killers of the Flower Moon. So it should be number one. I think it's in the right spot. In the second spot, I do have this Past Lives, which is an A24 film, which hasn't been released, but everybody's talking about it. All the critics are saying it's the best movie of the year. And the thing is that's working against Past Lives, it's not a... It doesn't have a lot of big stars in it in terms of like the American audience. And we're talking about this in the break, that this, the big reason that I have this ranked so high is that it is a A24 film, which A24 has become the new Weinstein company, which if you know anything about the Oscars, the Weinstein company is basically, they would make movies to make Oscars. They didn't make movies to make money. They made movies to make Oscars.
Minus the off-the-field matters.
Minus the off-the-field stuff. So yeah. Obviously that company no longer exists, of course. But Past Lives... A lot of odds moving on that right at the beginning. So these came out probably maybe 2-3 weeks ago. It was at 10-1. It's now been 2 or 3 weeks. This movie hasn't even been out yet. I think it's actually coming out, I think, this week. It actually is going wide release, and it's already moved up to 7-1.
What's it about?
It's basically like a romance based over like time. So these people met in Asia, I believe Japan or South Korea. Yeah. One of them moved to America. They went on living their lives, and then they met up with each other, and we have a love story. So it's a love story drama, essentially.
Well, give an example of an A24 movie.
So an A24 is basically a company that funds a lot of independent films. So they're really in charge of making non-IP-driven intellectual property, IP-driven films. So they make movies for filmmakers, essentially, or film buffs. Really not big wide appeal for a lot of people. But
give an example of one that was in the
past. A good example is Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won the Academy Award last year. So,
Brian, I hated that movie. Like, yeah,
it wasn't my favorite either.
I didn't think I saw that movie until I was reminded by my girlfriend. She goes, "Yes, you did. You fell asleep on it." I was like, "Oh, I hated that movie."
Oh yeah, I totally see it. I didn't really enjoy that movie either. But I understood where it stood in the Academy Awards race, which it ended up winning. So,
all right. 8-12.
Anyways, so Past Lives in the second spot. Number three, so excited. Oppenheimer coming out July 21st. I got my ticket. I spent 40 minutes figuring out if I want to watch this in IMAX or 70 millimeter like it's supposed to. I'm watching it in IMAX because I'll probably go back and watch it in 70 mil. This is a big, big month we're going to have in July. So we're going to have Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning coming out. The week right before Oppenheimer and Barbie come out, which are going up head-to-head, the two key movies for this week, for that month, are coming out. But on the Barbie's really far on the board.
On the Venn diagram, you're the one person that will go watch both.
If I could, I would go. I'm really thinking about going and seeing Barbie at 3 o'clock and then going to see Oppenheimer at 5. That's 5 hours of movies with no break in between. So
go see Barbie second.
That's a lot. Anyways, but yeah, Barbie's actually on the list, but much further down. So anyways, so Oppenheimer, my boy, what's his name? Christopher Nolan, almost forgot his name. He's making a film about the development of the atomic bomb. This movie, I think, is just going to be put in just on the basis of it's had a lot of hype, good marketing. I did check the theater. It is pretty full for the theater, which is good. But also, he is a prestige filmmaker. He is what people aspire to be in terms of making films at a high budget with basically his style. So he's making this for Universal Pictures. So
six,
this is 7-1.
Oppenheimer 6-1.
Or 6-1. I apologize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's in a good spot. If it does really, really well, I think this definitely can get into the 3-1, 4-1 range, but we have a long time before we get to the Oscars, so this may move. But I think it's not a bad spot to buy Oppenheimer at +600. 6-1. But I like Oppenheimer at 6-1 at this point because it can only go down.
Because how would you describe this market? Like if you feel it's going to go, like it's a pretty volatile market, right? Between now and the Oscars, it's going to go every which way.
100%. It always happens. I think movies. For the Oscar season was typically between August and December. That's usually when the big movies came out, the ones that we're pushing for winning an Academy Award. I think it's more important now to come out a little earlier in the year because we get a little bit more runtime with these movies, like Everything Everywhere All at Once did that came out in March of last year of 2022. And you get that runtime. And then it's really important to get it out. I think this is the new age of this, getting it out on streaming so people can start watching it at home because some people don't go to the movies anymore. So it needs to get out there to get public recognition and get really the train behind it to get pushing is getting it out on the streaming services. So Oppenheimer's number 3 at this point. What else do I have on my list here?
Maestro?
Yeah, Maestro, which is going to be a Bradley Cooper film. This is actually about Leonard Bernstein. This is about his life. I think it's really good it came out this year, not last year, because it would have had to go up against Tar, which is also classical music film. But right now it's 9-1. I think it's in a good spot. Not a lot's come out about this film, just, Bradley Cooper does wear a lot of makeup because he goes through sort of the different eras of Leonard Bernstein. And again, it's one of those sort of actor pieces who also is directing the film, and he has a good track record with the Academy as well. So Maestro at number 4, and then also number 5, this is kind of down the road. I haven't heard a lot about this movie, but it's called Lee. I did a little bit of research on it. It's actually about a woman who was a model for Vogue during World War II and then became photographer for the British, the British Army. So, army photographer through World War II. And this has, the reason I'm putting it in here, it was short shot, 10-1, not short shot, but it's a shorter shot, 10-1, and it has Kate Winslet in it, which Kate Winslet is a Academy Award All-Star. So I just put it there. So really, I would look at the top 3 at this point if you're going to put any money on it at this point. But once we get closer to October, November, then I'll start looking at things that are a little bit further along.
So Killers of the Flower Moon, Past Lives, and Oppenheimer, yeah, meaning the three ones you're talking about, Maestro and Lee, the fourth and fifth. Are these the 5 shortest shots, just to clarify?
This is a mixture of that. There's a one called Blitz, which is actually also about World War II and the London Blitz.
These are your value plays, in other words.
Yeah, these are my value plays. So I'm just really going off of Kate Winslet for Lee, but I would start at the number 3. Right now, if I had to pick one for value, I would go with Past Lives just because of A24's history with the Oscars.
Past Lives at 7-1. Yeah. This is like you're handicapping the voters, right? Just like we do in awards markets and sports.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Just how I told you before the show started, you have to handicap. This is a really good way to handicap just how you handicap the NL Cy Young, AL Cy Young, any of the awards markets. You're really betting on the voters, not the player.
All right. We'll do the restaurants when Crack is here, because I'm sure he'll have something to say about the hardest restaurants to get into here in Las Vegas. Good on DraftKings for having Oscars odds up already in June. It's tremendous. Paul Spohr on baseball, his thoughts on some yes and no's to make the playoffs. And we have a listener question for him as well. Coming up, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Logic3227, thoughts on your taco holders 6.5 season win total. He is referring to the Washington Commodes and their taco holder logo. I said on when I did the NFC East preview a few days ago when we're promoting the guide, I said I lean over on Washington at over 6.5 plus 100. I gave the reasons why. It's not a bet for me, though, but I would lean over on that. The bets for me in that division were the Eagles to win it, win the NFC East, become the first back-to-back NFC East champ in over 20 years, at minus 125. I like the Cowboys under, but I'd wait till after game four to bet it in season. The ones I like the best, Giants under, alternate season win totals under at 5.5 at plus 270. Giants fans, I feel your hate already. Buddhist man, a quick summation of today's first segment. Quote, I was sitting at Pink Taco that night. And another quote, afterwards, James Joyce said he had the stickiest hands he'd ever seen, or said he had held the stickiest hands he'd ever. That's quite a segment. You're absolutely right. Screaming A. Smith. Gil can't wait to get home and pre-book his movie tickets after that segment right there. Commish, pick five commish. June 3rd, 1995. People love baseball, perfect game history. This was another near miss and really a miss only on a technicality. June 3rd, 1995, Pedro Martinez goes 27 up and 27 down for the Expos over the Padres, but does not get credited with a perfect game because the Expos can't get him a run. Gives up a double to the immortal Bip Roberts in the 10th. Brutal. Should be recognized as a perfecto by Major League Baseball. Thank you for that, commish. Absolutely. We talked about the Galarraga one earlier, how the close ones, you just feel for these guys. In the case of Galarraga, how it was just taken from him. Paul Sporer, a baseball historian himself, he writes at FanGraphs, of course, Sleeper in the Bust podcast, works at so many different baseball outlets through the years, was the author of the most awesome starting pitcher's guide back in the day as well. He joins us from his lair somewhere in Austin, Texas. How you doing, man?
I'm well, Gil. How are you?
Good. Does a perfect game still move the needle for you? I mean, that is special, right?
For sure. For sure. It really is. You know, it'll be a little bit of the wet blanket, though. It is tough to root for a guy with a DV charge like Domingo had. But the event itself definitely moves a perfect game for sure. A no hitter still gets me going on the night of, right? Like, that's still a cool event, and that's fun to enjoy. And I don't love the whole, oh, it's Oakland, it doesn't count. Because if that were the case, why don't we see 15 no hitters and six perfect games a year?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was going through the no hitter history. There's been like 330 plus or something like that. Over 300 no hitters. I don't remember lots of them. Like some of the names, like, really? What? Perfect games. I remember each and every one of them. Like, you remember the perfect games.
No doubt. No doubt. The perfectos are definitely on another level. No hitters are more fleeting. You remember them in the moment, but unless they have like 15 plus Ks, you're not really remembering, or some great plays to go with them. But perfectos, like you said, Phillip Umbers, I still remember. Of course, Felix is, he's a god. You remember that. But like, they are still special without a doubt. Perfect games. They're incredible. And again, just because it was a bad team, it really doesn't take anything from it for me, because it's not like Oakland's been perfected four times this year.
Absolutely. By the way, we have a listener question. Would you accept a listener question? Ian McDonald had asked me this the other day. I said, I'll ask you. He said, good morning, Gil. Have you or any of your baseball guys done any deeper research on Logan Gilbert this season? If so, was anything interesting uncovered? Because he had heard that he was going to add an off-speed pitch in Seattle, thought that was the thing he needed to have a side type of season, but it hasn't played out that way. Anything for you on Logan Gilbert?
Put away pitches have been better, which is how, you know, strikeouts on two strike counts, like putting the guy away, of course, because he hasn't really had a fundamental change in like swing strike rate or arsenal changes. And the strikeout rate is up now. It has bumped back a little bit. So it really is only like a 2.5 point gain up to 25%. But that's really all we've been seeing. And still with the impeccable command, the 5% walk rate, he's still doing a lot of good, but I don't think he's fundamentally different than the Logan Gilbert that we're used to. And of course, these last couple games, namely the Angels one and the Yankees one, have pushed his ERA back up. He was running a sparkling ERA before that with the new strikeouts, but instead he's kind of regressed, and he is who he is. The left on base rate is weirdly low at 65%. He's a career 72, which is about league average. So Gilbert probably is owed a little bit of good favor there, but you know, it's not a luckometer. It doesn't just go back to 72 because you wish it to. If he's pitching worse with runners on, you're going to have troubles. But I don't believe the 65% is real. I do think Gilbert's better than a 4.19 ERA. I think he's a mid 3s ERA with a wonderful whip because he doesn't walk anybody. He fills the zone, which can leave him a little bit susceptible to homers at times too.
That is a very thorough analysis. There you go, Ian McDonald from Paul Sport. By the way, the four things more rare than a perfect game in baseball. Any idea? Mm-hmm. Want me to list them?
I was going to roast myself, but it's too early in the morning to make that kind of joke. Go ahead, Gil.
Unassisted triple play.
Oh, yeah.
Stealing home. Wow. Wouldn't have expected
Wait, really?
Yeah, I don't. That doesn't make sense to me. Interesting.
Stealing home in like the modern era, because I feel like it happened all the time.
I do too.
But I don't know. I wasn't around. Yeah. I'm old, but not that old.
The four homer game, I would have absolutely. Yeah. That would have been the one that I would have picked. And then the triple crown, right? The triple crown is a rare feat as well.
And, you know, the four homer, definitely remember those two, hard hitting Mark Witten.
Hard hitting Mark Witten.
Mike Cameron, JD Martinez, and that electric run with Arizona that he had. I think Josh Hamilton had one. Those are just a few off the top of my head, but you remember the four homer games. Those are special.
Carlos Delgado had one. Which
Delgado'd him.
Yeah, he Delgado'd him. I sent you this morning, I don't know if you saw these, but I sent you some yes no's to make the playoffs at this point. Here we are right at the halfway point of the season. Some teams past the 81 game mark, some right before it. Were there any that stood out to you, yes or no?
You're going to stop inviting me on if I keep talking up the Angels, but
yes,
they're still plus to make it. And, you know, I roasted myself when I picked them at the outset of the season, but I haven't been too far off, really. You know, they're competitive. They're 44-38. They're a ball club that I do still like. You know, I've mentioned that some of it is kind of wish casting to get Otani and Trout into the playoffs, and I just want to see how that goes. But I do think they have a pretty solid lineup. They've got some good pitching. Otani's, of course, a god. I've never doubted Detmers, and now he's showing his full potential. Do need somebody else to kind of come through, though. I really like Patrick Sandoval, but he just puts on way too many base runners. Tyler Anderson's been a flop. Jaime Barria got blasted yesterday, but I do think he's kind of interesting. They need to make some moves, but they're like one of the only teams that looks pretty strong right now that is plus money on this at plus 170. So I do still like the Angels, even though I think the Rangers are awesome, and I can't come close to burying Houston. I know they're in trouble. Their offense hasn't been as good. They're not as like transcendent, but they're still very good. So it won't be easy for the Angels, but at plus 170, I do still think they're one of the better numbers on the board. And the DraftKings is so shifty, man. They won't bury the Cardinals either. You would think you'd get a better number than plus 600, but I respect that it's there because you can't quit this team yet. As bad as they've played,
that's right.
It would surprise me this much if they made the playoffs. Zero. I wouldn't even be like, oh my God, wow, what a run. I'd be like, yeah. That's pretty much what I was waiting for. Yeah. I still just cannot get off that Cardinals team. And I don't think plus 600 is good enough to really take, though, even though I do think they have a lot of opportunity. I wish we were getting a better number. The books are sharp. That's why they keep building the books in the casinos.
DFS, what do you got today? What do you like?
Gil, I didn't go hard on DFS. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
I was unprepared today on DFS, if I'm honest with you.
Better question than that. That's more betting focused. Trade deadline is 1 month away. Hard to believe. Exactly 1 month. August 1st.
I know.
1 month and a day. Give me an idea of who you think, and again, the thing about this that's tough about this question is sometimes it comes down to the week right before it, right?
So it's 100%.
Yeah. So it's like it's a hard question to answer now. But I got
one for you, though.
Okay, please. Yes. To the good or bad, buy or sell?
Go back to my Angels. The guy pitching against them today should be on their ball club, Lance Lynn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They need more power pitching. I want to get some guys in there that can miss some bats. Whether you're talking Lynn, Giolito, Cease, I think they need to be looking there. Also, the Reds. The Reds should not go out and make crazy moves. Don't go trading Noelvé Marte, Edwin Arroyo, any of the other guys who haven't been called up. You go get Lance Lynn on a rental, that's not going to cost you a lot. They still have pieces they could trade there. So I think the Reds are also a great fit for Lynn because they too need swing and miss guys, because in that ballpark, you cannot have finesse guys in Great American Small Park. They need pitching. Green and Lodolo out until August. If they want to have any chance of turning this into a special season, they got to get pitching. I think they need to get on the horn with the White Sox. So the White Sox could be the team for the Angels and the Reds to get a pitcher.
White Sox are going to be the big seller, you think?
They probably should be. I mean, it's just not working. You got to ship out some of these parts. It's not a full teardown, but I think you move on some parts and you kind of start turning over a new leaf there in Chicago.
Yeah, it really does sometimes come down to that last weekend. Baseball deadline day has become awesome. Can't wait for
that. It really has.
Paul, appreciate it, man. Great seeing you.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
Paul Sporer, everybody. Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.